time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. And be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies, with alternative and complementary therapies all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. Female athletes being crushed by women who were once men. Transgenders are dominating female sports in weightlifting, track and field, wrestling, football, basketball, mixed martial arts. And here it is. You've heard the expression, boys will be boys. But what happens when a brawny boy wants to be one of the girls? And fiercely competing with females in weightlifting, brutally tackling girls on the football field, or even dealing powerful knockout punches to ladies in mixed martial arts. It's now happening across America and around the world. And biological males, who are very mediocre in men's sports, are when they're changing to women and transgendering, they are smashing records and dominating in sports, again, such as weightlifting, softball, cycling, track, wrestling, football, volleyball, dodgeball, handball, cricket, golf, basketball, and mixed martial arts. In almost every single sport, a male can dominate a female. And the movement for equality has apparently inspired transgender athletes to join teams of their preferred gender. And that often means biological males are competing against biological females on women's teams. In the world of sports, critics argue, equality between the sexes simply doesn't exist. And physiologically speaking, there's a gender gap between men and women that cannot be erased. For when it comes to running, as an example, men are generally faster than women. And a big article that came out in the edition of Runner's World explained at every distance, the gap between men's and women's world records times at least 9 to 10%, and it's similar or even higher percentages among recreational runners. And so the question that I have, what do you think? Should transgendered men be allowed to compete in women's sports? Sound off, call us, give us a call again. Let's see the telephone number I had right off the top again. Let me pull that up. 646-478-5814. Do you have a comment or a question on that? And, you know, I'd really like to know what people think. You know, the Olympic Committee has allowed transgender to compete. I think, though, in high school that they need to limit that. The girls are losing out on their true girls are losing out on their scholarships, whether it be for softball or baseball or track and field or gymnastics or whatever the sport. The girls are losing out in their getting sponsors or getting winning scholarships to go to universities. Those biological women have to compete against biological men, and they're now coming in third, fourth, or fifth place. So again, it's the first and second and third place that you win. They get the medals, and they get the limelight. So I think in possibly in the Olympics, they make their own rules. But I think in high school, my own personal opinion is that high school, we would not want to detract from true female sports and giving males that competitive edge. And there was at Ohio University, the biological sciences lecture, that was the article in Runner's World. It says, faster men's times for the 100 to 800 meters are mostly due to men, on average, having greater muscle mass, and a larger portion of it is fast twitch muscles, which allow them to generate greater force, speed, and anaerobically produced energy at all distances. So the main reason for the gap is men's higher aerobic capacity, or the percent oxygen, on average, which is due to their typically having less body fat, more hemoglobin, more muscle mass, and larger hearts and lungs than women. So on average, men have longer and larger bones, which gives them a mechanical advantage over the women, since they have greater leverage, increased height, and larger frames to support muscle. Their bones are also more dense, and they have tougher ligaments, making them less prone to sports injuries. Since these physical and physiological factors give a man a clear competitive edge in sports, is it fair or even safe for a biological male with larger muscle mass, heart and lungs, and greater strength, acceleration, and speed to compete against girls and women? So if men can claim to be women and invade a sport that only women are allowed to compete in, then it's a safe bet that the men will win. And so all the accolades, rewards, and recognition will be taken from the young girls who rightfully deserve them and given to a man who essentially cheated by putting on makeup, injecting himself with hormones, and saying he's a woman. So what's going on? I think there was a book that came out, Snapping of the American Mind, and he's an award-winning journalist, David Kuperlian. And in one of the chapters, he said, gender madness, precisely what the transgender phenomenon really is. And so there's all kinds of controversy on it. And it's, again, what do you do? How do we deal with things like that? Anyway, next article that I want to talk about is the silent killers. Cordless phones are now showing dangerously high radiation readings, and the idea of taking in a killer is unthinkable, but that's what most of us are doing every time we plug in our cordless phones. There was a video from the electromagnetic frequency safety zone, and it demonstrated firsthand the dangers of people exposed to when cordless phones are present in the house. There was a video, it's available online, and it's called EMF Safety Zone, and they used a high-frequency analyzer and the radio frequency meters, and they were used to determine the amount of electromagnetic field radiation present before and after a cordless phone was plugged in and turned on. When the phone was turned on, the readings of the high-frequency analyzer recorded average exposure of more than 2,000 microwatts per square meter, which includes elevated non-thermal radiation levels. In terms of signal strength, the RF meters noted peak value 6 volts per meter. For those of you electronic out there, or physics or whatever, you'll know what all that means. But anyway, in the report called the Bio Initiative Working Group, the safety limit for the power density or the amount of energy in the given space should never exceed 0.04. 0.04, and they're getting 6 volts per meter, not 0.04. So according to the report, this is incredibly dangerous, they pointed out in the video, and you can see that I did post it on my website, that article. And the video also revealed how it's not an isolated incident. The phones were set up in offices, and it didn't matter where it was in throughout the house. Even at the farthest end of the house, the radio frequency meters still detected peak strength, so despite walls separating. So these are, for some people that are very sensitive to electromagnetic frequencies, they're getting all kinds of different symptoms, but it can cause disturbances in the melatonin levels in the brain, and therefore disturbances in your ability to sleep. So anyway, this is what's going on. Silent killers, cordless phones. And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here. And one thing, please listen to what about that wave shield, because I just read where the cordless phones are causing a lot of radiation and problems. And here's another article just to follow up on that. And scientists are warning about the 5G technology that's being installed in street lamps all around the United States. They're changing the lights and putting in the LED lights, and also the 5G for phone reception, putting out microwave energy all over. Well, scientists are warning that this new 5G technology found in Wi-Fi and street lamps is causing insomnia, nosebleeds, even stillbirths. So we have to be careful about that. The study was pretty comprehensive, and it says they're speaking out now about the study because health problems are related to the LED street lamps that put out 5G radiation. And they're finding that all of these radiation, the dangers of EMF radiation, is on the rise. And they're seeing, we're seeing babies dying in the womb as those transmitters are situated right outside the bedrooms of some of these ladies that are pregnant. We're seeing what the results are in babies. It's a humanitarian issue, according to the doctors. And the dangers of EMF radiation is on the rise. And through the science of EMF radiation is still far from established, many researchers believe that it does indeed have the potential to cause harm. EMF radiation is on the same kind of radiation produced by cell phones in the towers, though it can be emitted from other devices, including LED streetlights. And this is according to the Professor Warnicki from the University of Saarland. They're checking all over. It was being checked throughout England and the United States, and they're warning. So you can, you know, help yourself. These are the kinds of things that you want to put something like the wave shield, which cuts that radiation directly off the phone. And so you want to use something like that because you want to cut that radiation. It'll cut 99% of the radiation that is in being emitted by that phone. So anyway, let me erase that article then. So again, our telephone number, if you have questions, 646-478-5814. That's hardly any calls coming in. We've got people listening. So other than that, anyway, here was a new article that was quite nice. A guy, they did a study on something labeled as alternative medicine. And that means there's something else that is considered the conventional choice when you mention alternative medicine. It's interesting, then, that natural medicine is stuck with into the alternative medicine category. And after all, it was the only type of medicine available for thousands of years, and it remains quite effective throughout the world. So anyway, they're talking about that natural medicine is not the alternative. For most of human history, it was the only medicine. So nature's gifts somehow are being marginalized, especially as profit-hungry drug companies, and I really think they are profit-hungry because they're charging outrageous amounts for their drugs, and they're taking over the medical field. They advertise drugs directly to the public, And of course, you watch these commercials all the time, and you go, oh, yeah, I think I need that drug. Let me talk to my doctor. And then it comes out, you know, where it says at the end, they talk real fast about all of the side effects, and don't worry, you might cause death, and you'll lose your hair. It causes warts and ED and this and that. You won't sleep well, you know, just the most bizarre things that come after that. And you don't hear that. That just slides by your brain. So anyway, nature's gifts were somehow marginalized because of the drug companies. And you can also see it in the food industry. Fruits and vegetables that our grandparents used to eat are now referred to as organic and have a premium price tag. And the engineered imitations have taken over the mainstream. You know, have GMO foods everywhere, and it's unfortunate. Because the alternative label also often has the baggage of a sham or a quack. And for many people, it's a negative term, and it's causing them to miss out on potentially helpful or even curative treatments. So just think of it. Natural medicine throughout the history, whether it's Chinese medicine or herbal medicine throughout Europe, and also Aborigine medicine that you get on every continent. Here in the United States, American Indian medicine was used quite a bit. Even when the settlers first landed in on the East Coast in Jamestown, and they learned natural health care from the Indians at the time. So there's all kinds of certain nutrients have been known for a thousand years to help prevent disease. You go to India and you look at Ayurvedic medicine, which is from 7,000 years, Ayurvedic medicine, and it'll talk about turmeric, the spice turmeric, and garlic and onions, and using diet and nutrition specifically. So there are things in diet. We know now, as an example, that turmeric, that spice, that yellow spice that's in curry, is one of the strongest known anti-cancer nutrients on the market. And it is extremely beneficial. Ginger has been used for thousands of years. And now they're finding that it, too, has very strong anti-cancer properties. Then again, you have things like onions, and you have herbs all over. There's all kinds of herbs available. Cayenne pepper is an example, which grows on every continent, will stop a heart attack in 30 seconds. So I tell my heart patients to keep cayenne pepper around. We used to use those little plastic containers that the 35-millimeter film came in. Now you don't get that film anymore. But cayenne pepper, if you have hypertension or you think you might be having a stroke or a heart attack, get that cayenne pepper hot, put a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon in a glass of water, stir it up, and drink it, and it'll stop that heart attack in 30 seconds. It'll balance out the blood pressure. Don't worry about the butt burner, because, you know, that you can take care of, you know. Eat some ice cream or get a piece of ice and rub it on your butt for that burning. But we don't worry about the stomach or the butt burn. We worry about not making it and then from then on being 6 feet under. So cayenne pepper is really that strong and that healthy an herb. So I see that we need to take a break. The light is blinking. Are we taking our second commercial break of the hour? Or are we going to the phones first?
Actually, that was just for the phone call. I believe I recognize this number, though. It's generally, I think this number listens, the 575.
Oh, yes.
But we can ask them because they may have a question. So.
Yeah, well, go ahead and just punch the numbers. Again, we did that first one. The 915-0198, they're just listening.
They're listening.
And then the 915, okay, that's the other one. It's Sandy Ben Joseph. Mm-hmm. And then 575 and then 0185. That's a, we just put you on live. I don't know if you have a question. Oh, we hear that in the background. So are you there? 575-0185?
Hi, Dr. Ben Joseph.
Hi there. Who is this? Who are we speaking to?
I'm Sylvia in Alamogordo.
Hi, Sylvia. How are you doing today?
Hi there. Fine, thank you so much.
Oh, how can
Joseph
we...
And Joseph, yes. What is a good blood pressure reading for a person over 70?
Over 70. Now, as you get older, blood pressure has a tendency to go up a little bit because people, you know, throughout their entire lives, they're deficient in certain nutrients. So the connective tissue in the arteries begin to harden and you get deposits in there. Or someone might be low in magnesium. So what happens, the intima muscle layer begins to spasm. So blood pressure goes up a little bit. You know, the readings that we want are around 120 over 80. Those are excellent. So if you start going up to 130, 140, 145 over, say, 85 or 90, it starts to be creeping up a little bit. That's when we start to make changes. You add magnesium into your life. You add CQ10 as an example, cayenne pepper, ginger. All of these would help to regulate blood pressure. But one of the studies that came out, it came out in April 2015, and there's a lot of noise coming in the background from your phone. So we're going to put that, take that off sound because it's causing a lot of back feedback. Put that just on listen, and then we'll put her back again. So there was a study that came out in early of the year 2015, I think it was April, and it was called the Leisure World Anti-Aging Study, and they wanted to know what makes people live the longest. And they went to this retirement center in Southern California called Leisure World, and they have about 30,000 people that live in this retirement community. They have their own zip code. And they took about 30 years ago, 20,000. So 20,000, and they took 20,000 of those people and they put them into a study where they would follow them for the next, let's call it next 30 years, 25 years. And they found out, they go, I want to know what makes people live longer. And they didn't, not necessarily how healthy they were, but what made them live longer. And so they followed these people for the next 30 years. And as they died, each they did autopsies and they had questionnaire forms and blood tests, and they were able to follow. And at Leisure World, only people 50 years old or older were able to live there. And so they got really high-grade information off these 20,000 people. One of the things they found had to do with blood pressure. And they found that as people age, the blood pressure adjusts and adapts to a person's age. And they found that those that had slightly elevated blood pressure, like I said, 140, 145 over 85, 90, even up to 95, that they were, as long as they were watching other things, that actually those that took the blood pressure medication did not live as long as those that did not take the blood pressure medication. Now, they found that spiking blood pressure is different than a general high hypertension. Spiking blood pressure is when that happens, when it goes up to 220 over, 140. That's very dangerous. That can cause a stroke. Now, all kinds of things can cause a stroke, but what they found is that the mild hypertension, if someone got a stroke, it was not necessarily from the hypertension. So the study found, another thing that the study found is those that with the higher cholesterol lived longer than those with lower cholesterol. So, and then the third thing that they found in the study is that past 70 years old, those people that were 15 to 25 pounds overweight did better than those that were underweight. So the three things they found really kind of overturned a lot of medical ideas that they thought were common. Number one, don't treat with drugs mild hypertension. They said let that slide. Take, you know, eat healthy, drink your water, do a low salt diet, those kinds of things. And they lived longer than those taking the medication. Also, the cholesterol, higher cholesterol, lived longer, and a little extra weight. And they found that if you're 75 years old and you get sick and you lose, let's say you're at a normal weight and you lose 5 or 10 pounds because you're sick for a week to 10 days, it's very difficult to get that weight back. So what they want is people to watch the, you know, their weight, not to be over 25. So it really turned over medicine. So that might be, anyway, let's put her back on. Sylvia might have some comments on that. So to help with your blood pressure, though, drinking ginger tea and using cayenne pepper quite a bit and taking your B complex, especially folic acid and B12 and these kinds of B vitamins, and then the mineral silica and magnesium, they all help to regulate the spasticity of the arteries and how high the blood pressure goes. So those are some of the nutrients. I think that answered your question, Sylvia. Anything
that
else?
That was excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to our show. I really appreciate it.
Welcome to Natural Solutions Radio, featuring Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph, with over 38 years of practical alternative health experience in traditional naturopathy. Call in with your questions to better your health for a happier life. And now we present to you live, on the web, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Ben-Joseph.
Yes, good morning. How are you? Who am I speaking to?
George.
Hi, George. How are you?
Pretty good, about yourself. I got two questions for you.
Okay.
The first question is about the EMF.
The electromagnetic frequency radiation, yeah.
Yes, we have routers at home. I know I heard that they do produce EMFs.
Yes. Almost any electrical device will produce EMF. Now, what happens, it depends upon how sensitive someone is to those electromagnetic frequencies. Some people are much more sensitive than others. And you can tell that you're sensitive if someone has a lot of general malaise, they just don't feel well, or headaches or eye strain, or you don't sleep well. Those are symptoms of EMF sensitivity, especially in the house, because those routers are going all of the time. Also, your televisions put out that EMF energy, and it can cause some disruption. Now, those new smart meters that are outside people's homes, they produce a lot of microwave energy and electromagnetic frequencies. So when they're outside, they found when those are outside the windows of people that are, you know, where their bedrooms are, or if they're outside the children's bedrooms, then that can cause actual damage. Anyway, the EMF can cause all of these sensitivities, and they just have a tendency to make the immune system a little weaker. So it's like your body is constantly being assaulted by something. So your body is always in this assault phase inside the body. And so, again, we don't like that. But EMFs, and especially these large towers, and right now when these large new 5G towers are going off, a lot of people are having more and more. And it's coming to more and more towns and cities around the country. They're putting up these 5G, and they're actually making the entire city almost Wi-Fi available. So you just have to be careful on that. It just depends how sensitive you are. If you're taking good nutrients, you know, prime longevity, and you're doing things that are stressor, you know, less stress in your life, and you're doing things that, you know, taking your multivitamins, or using turmeric as a spice, or eating a lot of garlic and onions and vitamin C type foods. If you're, when you're taking your iodine, or you're taking Vitamin C is an example. All of these things will help you handle these extra electromagnetic energies. Drinking ginger or taking ginkgo biloba, that puts more blood in the brain and can help repair anything going on. There's also therapies out there like hyperbaric oxygen, or the newest here in El Paso is exercise with oxygen therapy, and that can actually repair EMF damage. So, George, you just have to be careful and make sure you're drinking your water, staying healthy. But if you have high frequency in your bedroom, I would move those. We moved the main router. You know how we have a spectrum, and we took the main router out of the bedroom completely and put it in another room far away, so that router. But again, it just depends upon the individual, how sensitive they are. What was your other question?
Okay. How about peripheral? I have diabetes, and I have neuropathy in my hands now, in my left hand and on my feet. What can I do to help that?
That's a very good question for neuropathy. It's not easy to correct neuropathy because often there's a mechanical reason. Like in the hands, carpal tunnel, there can be pressure on the nerve through the bones in your wrist, right where your wrist and hand, as you're bending your wrist, that carpal bones can be putting pressure on the nerve there. Or in the ulnar nerve, which is the nerve right on the inside of your elbow. A lot of people that's sitting at a desk, they rest their hands on the edge of the desk, and they're putting pressure on that inner forearm and putting pressure on that nerve. Now, neuropathy in the feet are usually something that could be pre-diabetic or an issue with B12, as an example. So one of the things that you can take is extra B12, and I would use something like a methylcobalamin or a hydroxycobalamin, not necessarily the cyanocobalamin. The hydroxy and the methylcobalamin actually help with neuropathy better than the regular, cheaper form of B12. So B12 is very good. And then also the vitamin called alpha-lipoic acid or thiotic acid or lipoic acid. And at higher doses, they did some studies in Japan and found that taking up to around 600 to 1,000 milligrams a day can help with neuropathy, especially if it was the addition was added, if it was used with a B vitamin, B1, called benfotiamine. Normal thiamine is a B1, but there's a fat-soluble form of benfotiamine. It's another form, which, by the way, is in Prime Longevity. You won't find it in almost any other supplement form, but this new fat-soluble B1, which helps with neuropathy. So those kinds of alpha-lipoic acid. Now, when you take the high amounts of lipoic acid, you do have to take an extra B-complex because it will throw the B-complex off. Now, another thing you can do is eat really healthy fats. And coconut oil and avocados and raw walnuts and raw pecans and raw walnuts, pecans, almonds, pistachio nuts, Filbert's nuts, macadamia nuts. Not so much peanuts and cashews, but the ones that I just mentioned. And they have really healthy omega-3 fats. And then you can get things like sunflower seeds raw, and pumpkin seeds, and they have the high, very healthy omega-6 fats, and they all have fat. But avocado, as an example, is one of the healthiest in the world. And I have an article here. It says, what happens to your body when you eat an avocado every day? And this whole article on avocados, I didn't even realize it was originated in Puebla, Mexico. And the oldest evidence of an avocado was found in a cave in Puebla, Mexico, that dates back to 10,000 BC. They were eating avocados back then. And it's native to Mexico and Central America, and the avocado is classified almost as a fruit. It's a large, like they talk about it, like a large berry that grows on a tree. and the avocado will usually ripen 1 to 2 weeks after it being picked. Well, avocados are considered one of the healthiest foods in the entire world because of its impressive nutritional value. Now, that's an alternative medicine because regular straight governmental medicine does not rate avocados as healthy. They put them in the unhealthy category because they have high fat. Now, the government doesn't differentiate in the types of fat. They only say if a food is high fat or high sugar, or high fat, high sugar, or high salt. Actually, the two is high fat and high salt, then it's a bad food. So as an example, they'll rate Cocoa Puffs and Trix are for Kids and Pop-Tarts as healthier than an avocado. And that's because those foods I just mentioned don't have high fat. Now, that's the malignant dumb about the government. I love that term, malignant dumb. That's dumb that keeps getting worse. Okay, you know, malignancy. But an avocado is just very high in all the B vitamins, B1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 9, you know, the whole alphabet, C, E, K. It's high in minerals like calcium and iron and magnesium, manganese, phosphorus. And an avocado contains more potassium than bananas. And folate and all the B vitamins are very high, 23% folate, which lowers the incidences of heart disease and neural tube defects. It has very high vitamin E, which helps hormones in the cell membranes. It has the monounsaturated fats. It improves glutathione, which is the strongest detoxifier in the body. And that is very important for the heart. Eating avocados helps our body absorb 5 times the amount of the different carotenoids, and it has lycopenes and beta carotene and cryptoxanthin and astaxanthin and zeaxanthin, and it has very high beta cytosterols, which is very important for men and prostates. And then avocados lower your cholesterol. They lower the bad cholesterol and they raise the good cholesterol. And it also lowers blood triglycerides by about 20%. So avocados are just one of the healthiest foods on the planet. And again, when you eat those healthy fats like that, it de-stresses the body. It helps with hypertension. It really keeps your skin moist and supple, and it keeps, you know, it's one of the aging. Fat is more important than ever, and traditional medicine does not recognize that. But in alternative medicine, and you go around the world, you go to Polynesia and the Philippines and any of these areas, and you're going to see these, the Orient, they eat a lot of fat from coconuts and walnuts and nuts and seeds, and their skin, even at 70, 80 years old, looks just wonderful.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.